Okay. So, good morning, and thank you for the introduction. Today I'm speaking. Oh, it moved forward without me. Well, I guess I touched it. Well, anyways, I have no disclosures no relationships to disclose. I'm presenting on developing culturally competent programs designed for underserved populations. A little bit about ProChange. ProChange is a woman-owned research and development company located in Rhode Island. It was founded by Dr. James Prochaska, the lead developer of the Trans-Theoretical Model of Behavior Change, TTM for short, and also known as the Stages of Change. Our program development typically begins with funding from Small Business Innovation Research grant and contract funding. Upon effectiveness testing in randomized controlled trials, we partner with organizations to license and distribute our programs commercially and widely. Now, cultural competency, according to the Office of Minority Health, is a set of congruent behaviors, attitudes, and policies that come together in a system, agency, or among professionals that enables effective work in cross-cultural situations. It also has positive effect on patient care delivery because it enables providers to deliver services that are respectful of and responsive to the health beliefs, practices, cultural, and linguistic needs of diverse patients. It's critical to reducing health disparities and improving access to high-quality health care. In research, it's necessary to produce work that is honest, accurate, and respectful of stakeholders, and it supports validity by ensuring that diverse voices and perspectives are honestly and fairly represented. Now, prenatal health and birth outcomes are areas where vast health disparities exist. Infant mortality is significantly higher among Black, Latina, and socioeconomic groups. In addition, these groups have higher behavioral risks during pregnancy and higher rates of pre-existing conditions such as heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. They also have reduced access to healthcare access, such as interventions and prevention services. And women with limited English speaking skills have language barriers, base language barriers. Now, pregnancy is a window of opportunity as far as intervening on multiple risks. Pregnant women are expected to some extent alter their health behaviors or at least be asked to do so. Prenatal risks tend to co-occur, so treating multiple risks at once maximizes the public health impact of prenatal interventions. Which brings us to our Healthy Pregnancy Program, a multiple behavior TTM tailored intervention addressing smoking cessation, relapse prevention, stress management, and fruit and vegetable consumption. Our programs are always grounded in behavior change science. Some important elements are engaging key stakeholders in participatory research, using reliable and valid assessments to create tailored communications, and our programs are truly based on all the constructs of the TTM, not just the stages of change. To briefly review the Trans-Theoretical Model of Behavior Change, it's a model that predicts and explains the behavior change process via progression through seven stages of change and offers strategies of change matched to readiness to facilitate behavior change and maintenance. Thus, the tailoring is an important distinction of our programs. Many and most programs are one-size-fits-all, which are action-oriented, meaning they're really just for those who are ready to change. Some programs are stage-matched and offer messages based on individual readiness and stop there. ProChange programs go an important step further by tailoring messages based on how much an individual is using or underusing important strategies of change. These tailored messages allow us to be much more specific and individualized than a one-size-fits-all program. I wanted to share a quote from the American Evaluation Association's public statement on cultural competency that I think relates to our program development. Cultural competence is not a state at which one arrives. Rather, it is a process of learning, unlearning, and relearning. And I think this is what our process looked like. In phase one, our advisory council helped determine focus on certain behaviors, how it could be integrated into prenatal care, and how to assess acceptability and appropriateness of an intervention in regards to cultural sensitivity, norms, and literacy. Transitioning from phase one, where the program was only available in English, we had to turn focus to relearn how to develop a program for a more diverse group of pregnant women, which now included Spanish-speaking pregnant women. And for, I don't know if there's any Latinos in the room, but you know that the Latinos differ by country of origin in terms of sometimes linguistics and traditions. At this point in the study, we relied on the advisory council who had expertise in the target behaviors and also with working with underserved populations. We also relied on expert input from the prenatal staff at the recruitment sites who also worked with this population. And we focus group tested and usability tested many parts of the program, such as the look and feel, the content, and interactive activities. It was an iterative process that relied heavily on the input of experts in the field and end users. This is the slide I was talking about. Sorry, guys. Now I'm moving on. Another important element was to focus on health literacy. We licensed a software to test the reading level to make sure it was written at a fourth and fifth grade level. All components of the program were translated into Spanish. I had reviewed for errors, and I focus group tested and usability tested with Spanish-speaking participants to make sure we were using the most appropriate translations for certain words and phrases, because some different people from different parts of the country can say things differently. These are just a few images from focus groups in phase one. I wanted to share a few screenshots. This is our login screen with which we usability tested extensively to make sure that women knew how and where to register and how and where to log in. This is an assessment, a confidence assessment for smoking. And this is stage feedback for someone in the preparation stage. These are a few interactive activities. This is a helping relationships activity where it's important for women to identify people that can support their behavior change. This is a flip book that lists different minerals and vitamins that are important during pregnancy and different fruits and vegetables where they can get those. And this is an activity where someone makes a commitment or a recommitment that they can make that change. Women were recruited from three different centers. In phase one, all women were recruited from the community health centers in Connecticut. In phase two, we added two additional centers, the Thunder Mist Health Center in Rhode Island and Open Door Medical Center in New York. And that center primarily served Spanish-speaking, recently immigrated women. And to participate, you had to be 18 years or older, be able to read English or Spanish, or be less than 19 weeks gestation. These are just a few demographics of women recruited into the study. The sample was primarily Latina women. 43% chose the Spanish module, so we had a large portion using that. For 36% of the sample, this was their first child, and 51% were unemployed, and most women had a high school degree or less. Women were either put in the treatment or usual care group at the start of their first session. They participated in three sessions during pregnancy and two sessions post-delivery. They received $25 for each session completed. Now, we knew retention would be a challenge given the underserved and transient population. We conducted a sequential approach of communication, which involved text messages, phone calls, voice messages, mail paper surveys, and reminders as needed. And given the large group of Spanish-speaking participants, we made an effort to make sure we had bilingual staff at all points in the study. We had a 1-800 number that was linked to my office number where I could answer questions in both English and Spanish. The prenatal staff at the health centers, the majority of Spanish-speaking participants were recruited from, were available to help women in with registering or logging into the program. And at follow-up, we partnered with a company that focuses on phone surveys, and they had bilingual surveyors that were reaching out to participants via phone. So thanks to our thorough and sensitive approach to retention, I think our efforts paid off as we accomplished 70% of the sample remaining in the study. Now, toward truly taking a multiple behavior approach, our primary outcome was looking at the number of risks. You can see the reduction in the number of risks from baseline to final follow-up, with the treatment significantly reducing their risks more than the usual care group. And if you want to learn more about the evaluation outcomes, my colleague in the back right there, Emma Diaguiar, she'll be presenting at 12:30 in room West 187B. We asked a few acceptability questions at 10.3, and we got positive feedback with 94.2% saying that they would recommend this program to a friend. To recap, development with cultural competency in mind contributed to an innovative and engaging program that for multicultural pregnant women. Key stakeholders contributed in the development of a program that is respectful of the needs of multicultural pregnant women, which resulted in high acceptability among our participants. It's grounded in theory and had high impact by reducing behavioral risks among participants. And having bilingual staff at all points in the study allowed us to meet the needs of our Spanish-speaking participants, which in return substantially reduced language barriers and increased retention. These are just a few resources on cultural competency. If you want to learn more, and thank you. My email is right there if you have any questions, and that's the URL, the demo URL if you want to see more of the study. Thanks.